The theme of my talk this morning is patience.
I tell you what, yesterday though I lost my patience. I had that dreaded visit to a mobile phone shop. Oh, you know what it's like? It's an hour and a half you don't get back of your life, isn't it? And then when you come home, you've got to download everything and do everything. I was getting a bit ratty last night, wasn't I, Sarah? It won't do it. Why is it doing this? And then I found out this morning, Sarah says, have a look at your phone. So everything was fine, apart from one thing. It had downloaded all the jolly photos on my whole cloud, including over 2,000 of Jacob's. So there's my memory gone. Patience. And patience is what I will be, is my theme this morning. But I was just going to read this few things. This is from a book from Charles Finney called Experiencing the Presence of God. He actually didn't write this particular little section, but I thought I'd just share it with you. Five things a preacher needs. First, he said, purity. In short, I must be clean in spirit, person, and contact with others, a good representative of Jesus. Second, humility. Third one is charity. And this is, by charity I mean that I want to be so magnanimous that I will assume the best about the deeds of others. Keep me from a critical spirit so the reputation of others will be safe in my hands. Do not let me find it easy when preaching or in conversation to go out of my way and cast a bad shadow on another when he is not able to explain. Let me always practice the golden rule and do unto others as I would have them do unto me. Fourth, chastity. I want to be so chaste that anything that savors of coarseness or suggestiveness will have no place in me. I must not shock the most refined person with anything that borders on looseness or rudeness. Let me never use language or gestures in the pulpit that could cheapen the gospel of the Son of God. And fifth, brevity. Let me know when and how to stop. So I thought the fifth one, that's let me know when and how to stop. So, a bit of Charles Finney. So, brevity. What's the time? They say patience is a virtue. Does anybody know where that comes from, that saying? Patience is a virtue? I mean, all those phrases are coined from the Bible quite a lot, some by William Shakespeare. Does anybody know where patience is a virtue comes from? I'm only going by what I've found out on. Well, in the English language, but it goes back to Greek apparently even earlier, but in the English language, it was first found, mentioned in the poem called Piers Plowman, written in 1360 by William Langland. So that is where it actually comes from. I didn't know that. I thought it was one of those phrases which came from the Bible or Shakespeare. So apparently there are early references to a Greek philosopher, Cato, I believe, but in the English language it was the first mention. But anyway, how many of us here this morning have not been caught out by an eternity at Woodgate Level Crossing? How many times do we get caught Woodgate Level Crossing?
I think that's the exception, sure.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yep, Elaine. Yeah.
Three times.
That's terrible, isn't it? Wow. It's terrible. Well, I went to Marks. I thought I'd just nip something to Marks Spencer Bognor the other way. I thought it'd be quicker. Let's go to the Bognor one. 12 minutes. I waited for the gates to go up. I could have got to Chichester there and back in that time, couldn't I? It was like, oh no, come on. You know, it's like you sit there going fuming, don't you? You go, whoa. But say, I think all of us have got caught, despite the fact Wessex Highways, or whoever the powers that be, claim you only have to wait 2 to 3 minutes. That is very optimistic when you've seen the third train go through, isn't it? But on numerous occasions, we've had to wait a long time. And I must admit, I'm sure we all do, or maybe we don't, get increasingly impatient, which actually brought to mind Herbert. I thought, have patience, don't be in such a hurry. Once you're there, you can't think about it apart from turn around and go back. And by the time you've done that, you might as well have waited. But all this time spent waiting there. It was not wasted because I thought, I know what I'm going to talk about next Sunday. Patience. Patience is a virtue. But today I am going to look at the subject of patience. The fruit I was having a very hard time bearing sitting at the level crossing. But a blast from the past from the music machine. So I just want to start, obviously, in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 26 is where we find, obviously, the reference to it. So I'll quickly read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So we can quite clearly told there, but this is the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is among that list. And the word that we translate as patience, or forbearance, whatever you want to call it, is from the Greek, is makrothumia. It's made up of two words, makro, meaning long, and thumia, meaning temper or explosion. Quite apt, isn't it, really? You sit there fuming, don't you? Or it could be long-suffering, which means it takes a lot to make you lose your temper. A patient person has a long fuse instead of a short one. I remember when I was, particularly many years ago, when I was still trading in my life, I was given quite often the job of explaining things to trainees and young people because they said to me, Uncle David, as they used to call me, because I was a bit older than a few of them, only had the patience to sit and show people how things worked and how things happened. Youngsters today expect everything, it's on the screen, ding, 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 this is how it works. And I said, do you know where that comes from? No, because it's on the screen. Yeah, but it's come from somewhere. And I was the only one who would actually have patience to sit there with them and go through a mathematical calculation going, this is this, this is this, this is, and that's the number there. Oh, okay. So I said, because when the computers go down, you're a bit, because I started in the days before computers. So I had to know it. But I was known as the patient one. So yesterday evening in the phone shop, not quite so good, but there we go. But endurance is another word for it, persistence and perseverance. Another definition I read went like this. Patience is the capacity or quality of enduring pain, difficulty, provocation or annoyance with calmness. It's the quality of persevering, of calmly awaiting an outcome, of not being hasty or impulsive. And when we bear the fruit of patience, along with the other fruit of the Spirit, we are becoming more like Jesus. After all, these are fruits of his Spirit. And we see plenty of examples of patience of the Lord in the Bible. And I'm sure Keith has lots of patience too in the NHS. Sorry. For example, God gave the people of the world 120 years to repent before he sent the flood. Think of it. Noah's neighbours spent 12 decades watching the ark being built and hearing him preach, calling for their repentance, before God sent the waters to cover the earth. And do you recall God's statement to Abraham in Genesis 15 concerning the Amorites? They were inhabiting the promised land, but rather than immediately wipe them out, God chose to wait over 400 years to bring judgment on them. These enemies of God would be displaced as God settled his chosen people in the land he had promised them. But they didn't need to remain enemies. In his long suffering, his forbearance, his patience, God gave them plenty of time to turn from their wickedness and be forgiven. And of course, Jesus showed patience constantly, especially in dealing with his first disciples. Do you remember how he calmly responded to those quarrelling brothers, James and John, and to Peter, who, to be quite honest, was quite often putting his foot in his mouth fairly often? And there are many other examples to show that God is patient with you and me every minute of the day. Paul refers to this in Romans 2 when he says in verse 4, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience? And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says this. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So, just like all the other fruit, the better we learn to be patient, the more we become like Jesus. But of course, we all struggle with this particular fruit, not just in this country, but all over the world. In this day and age, we are becoming increasingly impatient people because it seems we have made speed a god. How fast is my broadband? How fast is everything this and that and the other? I noticed a clip of some remote island up in Scotland. They've got the fastest whatever broadband connection in the country. And yet, probably last week, they probably had the slowest. There's always this call for speed, isn't there? Everything's got to be now, instant. There's always instant reactions. Hyper-connectivity, really, and patience is becoming a bit of a lost art, isn't it? I mean, in the early days of internet, when you had the old dial-up, it was beep, 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 3 hours later, you're still waiting for the game of that ping-pong, whatever, tennis to download or whatever it is. But we expect things to happen immediately, don't we? Patience is a virtue, but some of us we've lost that virtue. Why hasn't that person answered my email, responded to my text message within, 30 seconds, 2 minutes? Don't they know I need the answer immediately? Well, actually, patience, you have to wait sometimes. I mean, there's nothing wrong with email and other technological advances. They're wonderful. Where would we be without such things? But sometimes it does increase our penchant for impatience. Too often we are just quick. Sometimes we just need to sit back and ponder for a while, think about things, and make more sensible judgments rather than instant reaction. Put things before God before we put things before the email or the text. I came across the results of a poll conducted by the Associated Press, where they surveyed over 1,000 adults, and this is about Americans' attitudes and behaviour regarding impatience. We could just as easily apply to us in the UK. Now, some of these findings included, while waiting in line at an office or a store, it takes an average of 17 minutes for most people to lose their patience. That's quite a long time, actually, isn't it? 17 minutes. 17 minutes, I think I'd be turning tail and walking back out the shop. On the telephone, it takes about 9 minutes for most people to lose their patience. Option two, please press. Option three, option four, oh, line's gone dead. Start again, unlucky. It does drive you mad, doesn't it, sometimes? I had a case last week where I had to phone up for washing machine repair, which actually wasn't actually necessarily, it was one of those collar things that got stuck in the filter, so it wouldn't spin. But, so you go online, call this number. Call that number. Oh no, you shouldn't have called me. Who told you to call that number? Well, I said it was on your website. Bosch washing machines. Oh no, you need to go back to so-and-so to get this. And then you call them up and says, have you got your whatever number it is? You'll find it on the inside of the door. I said, what? Hang on a minute. Oh, have you got the FFD number? What? No. And he says, now you need to call this number. What was all that about? Half an hour later, I managed to get a booking. And then, blow me, 2 days later, I had to cancel it. I had to go through the whole rigmarole again. What's your full name? What's your postcode? What's this? What's the number of the machine? I only want to cancel an appointment. Anyway, sorry. I was getting impatient. It doesn't make drive that mad, doesn't it? It says women lose their patience after waiting in line. After 18 minutes... For men, it's 15 minutes. No, I... Yes. Have you? It's slow. Do you get impatient going watching it?
The staff does it.
Oh, the staff do it. Jemima watches our washing machine. She goes, bubbles, bubbles. Stands there looking in the door. Trouble, she's at the height now. She can press all the buttons as well. People with lower income and less education are more patient than those with a higher education and a high income. People who live in the suburbs are more patient than people who live in the city. How true these are, I don't know. This is just the results I found. And then I was reminded of a story of two women who were just leaving a church service, and one of them said to the other, that was a great sermon on patience, to which the other replied, yeah, but he went on 5 minutes too long. Yeah. I'll sit down now, shall I? Well, to be like our Heavenly Father, to give evidence that His Spirit lives in our hearts, maybe we need to go against the hectic flow of our culture and learn to fight the promptings of technology and learn to slow down so we can bear this fruit. As John Ortberg warns, hurry is the great enemy of spiritual growth. It can destroy our souls and keep us from living well. Carl Jung had this to say, hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil. So a couple of quotes there. So this one, I just want to wrap up the rest of this look at patience around the answer to two questions. First, where do we most often give evidence of this particular spiritual fruit? And second, what is the source of patience? Or, to keep with the gardening metaphor, what soil is best for growing this particular fruit of the Spirit? So, where do we most often give evidence of this particular fruit? Well, as I have inferred, patience is most often seen in our dealings with other people. In fact, the Greek word makrothumia is primarily, it says, a relational word. It refers to being patient with people more than circumstances. And I'm sure you'll agree, it's easier to be patient with circumstances than people, because some people just drive you up the wall. So patience refers to difficult people more than difficult circumstances. It's the ability to put up with the foibles of fallen, foolish people like you and me without losing our cool. I think one of the main relationships in which we learn patience is as parents and grandparents. I've had to relearn patience all over again. I don't know if I had much the first time round, but the second time round, and I do admit being a grandparent and not sort of being semi-retired, it's great to have that time where you can actually give time. I spent a lovely part of Friday afternoon taking Jemima to a local little play area they've got very close to the house. And you see everything through the child's eyes. It's like for the first time. She loved blowing dandelions. She loved the cups of acorns. She was picking them up and just looking at them, putting the end of her finger. Ants, she wanted to touch the bark of an oak tree. And there were ants crawling over it. And she was fascinated. I'm thinking, you see things through a different light. And I must admit, as a grandparent, it's so nice to have the time. As a parent, you're always in a rush, aren't you? This, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. As a grandparent, I find I've got that time to just enjoy it, you know, and show her things, explain things to her. I'm always singing her songs. I sing the silliest songs. I got caught out the other day on Friday because I was taking her out for a walk and there was a guy there mending their intercom system to be let into the building. And I thought, oh no, he's going to be a complete nutcase. I said, apologise. I said, I'm sorry about speaking complete gibberish. He said, I was talking to my grandchild. And he said, don't worry. He said, I do it all the time. But it's so nice to have that bit of time and have a bit of patience and just sit back. And we are, you know, in a lot of hurry. But parents of little ones have to learn patience to survive. This week I came across the story of a young father in a supermarket pushing a shopping trolley with his son, who was strapped in the front. The little boy was fussing, irritable and crying. The other shoppers, we've seen them, give them a wide berth, because the child would be pulling the cans off the shelf and throw them out of the trolley. The father seemed to be very calm. As he continued down each aisle, he murmured gently, "Easy now, Donald. Keep calm, Donald. Steady, boy. It's all right, Donald." And a mother who was passing by was really impressed by this young father's attitude. She said, "You certainly know how to talk to an upset child, quietly and gently." And then bending down to the little boy, she said, "What seems to be the trouble, Donald?" "Oh no," said the father, "he's Henry, I'm Donald." So you can see, he was trying to keep calm and keep his patience when being tested. But all kidding aside, let's face it, no matter what their age, people can be frustrating. Like the people in the cars in front of me at the level, you didn't want to move in line when just quite fast enough and you want to pull forward. But before you think an amen, remember, judgments like these I just mentioned convey an unspoken thought on my part. I'm thinking, I'm more important than you people in front of me. My needs getting that parking space is more important than yours. We all come across it. Marks and Spencer car park in Chichester. The number of people think, oh, I want that space. I'm going to go round you lot that have been waiting for the last 10, 15 minutes. because I'm more important. But are we more important than people in front? Am I more important than anybody else? No. We need to wait our turn and take our place. We need to remember that Philippians 1 verse 6 doesn't just apply to me, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Patience shows up in our relationships with others when we realise that we are just as broken as they are, just as dependent on God's grace. This is why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." And in Ephesians 4 verse chapter 4 verse 2, it says, "We must be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Whenever we are tempted to lose our patience with someone who is driving us up the wall, we must remember other walls are packed with people we have driven up there. Remember, patience means forbearance with others. It means putting up with things people do or don't do. Remember, when we talk about people being frustrating, we mustn't ignore the fact that we are people. I am sure we can all be just as irritating and annoying to other people. So who tries your patience most? Could be a child, could be a spouse, could be a co-worker, or that strange neighbour. It could be a church member, two rows back. Don't turn round. Somebody's eyes are boring you. Who is it? With whom is God challenging you to bear this fruit the most? So where do we get patience? Of course, as I just said, we get it from God. Patience is indeed the fruit of his spirit. And to keep the gardening metaphor, the soil that is required to grow this fruit is our faith in God. As one theologian writes, patience is rooted in an overarching confidence that there is someone in control of the universe or world and our life. It is the conviction that God does work in all things for our good. Patience is first and foremost faith in action. Patience grows in the faith that God uses even the frustrating struggles of life to make us more like Jesus. It's trusting God's timing. It's the knowledge that whereas we look at the clock, God looks at the calendar. So he knows much more about our situation than we do. Patience comes from the belief that what God does in us while we wait is as important as what we are waiting for. Patience is rooted in the word of God. And it says in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, "We also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says this, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." When we face trials, we must be patient and consider it pure joy, because we know that the testing of our faith produces perseverance, and when perseverance finishes its work, we will be mature and complete, not lacking anything, as it says in James chapter 1. Basically, patience comes from the faith that waiting through tough times is indeed good for us. We don't think so at the time, but we have times of testing. A few decades ago, a test was done on children where they were left alone in a room and told they could have one sweet now, or if they waited and an adult came back, they could have two. The study found that the children who could patiently wait were more successful as adults. Obviously, this test was done over several decades. They went back to the children to trace them where they were now. I think we've all seen these programs on TV sometimes about they test these things, don't they? And what will they do? Will they do this thing? Will they just test each other? And will they grab another sweet when nobody's looking? And with apparent results, they had lower rates of divorce, the ones that were more patient, lower rates of addiction,
better exam results, got paid better salaries, and were less likely to become overweight. Now, it's obviously done over decades. They started when they were very young and followed them through. But it's maybe an interesting thing that patience is something worth cultivating. So patience is good for us. Patience comes from the faith that God is still creating us and shaping us, using everything that comes our way for our good and his glory. It keeps us going because we know we are going somewhere. We are going home to that place where there is no sorrow or fear, no sickness or death, that place where there is no longer a need for patience. And I'd just like to, before we go to our final song, just read a few verses from another psalm, Psalm 40. Verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So my challenge to you this morning, after this morning, this week, is to cultivate patience. When we sit in that line of traffic, sing that song. Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. Elaine thought that was funny. But anyway, just... this really tickled her. Anyway, as I say, have patience, everybody. It's worth cultivating.